Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, every one of you. It's great to have you with us. It's 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Whether you're listening in the morning show or the evening replay, it's still the same time. We appreciate each and every one of you. You know, the purpose of this show is to help give you tools to be persuasive so that you can persuade others, the persuadables, people that you know in your sphere of influence, your life, who are persuadable over the political issues of the day, and frankly, over political ideology, because it's more than just the issues of the day. It's how we approach all of those issues. Like this issue of homelessness. Now, we talked about this yesterday because it is one of those critical things that is, well, it's right out in front, folks. I mean, it just is. Everywhere you go. In fact, there's a story today that Salem passes the sidewalk camping ban, but then delays its enforcement. Why would that be? Oh, I know the story says why, but the reality is, why would you pass a ban and then delay the enforcement? Why? To give, like, anything's going to change for these homeless people? Like they're magically going to go find a place to live? Now, if you're going to pass the ban, the camping ban, as a, you know, city government, then why aren't you at least proposing in some measure to find a way, find a place for these people to live? But more importantly, why aren't you getting to the heart of why these people in one of the strongest economies, this state, and frankly, this country has ever known, how it is that they're homeless? What are the issues behind that? Now, that sets the stage for what, well, for what you can do, how you can influence people's thinking on the subject. Or how you can influence people's thinking on the subject of vaping restrictions, right? There's a story today also about how Multnomah County is seeking public opinion on how vaping should be restricted. Now, as we know, political activism is the direction of politics goes, friends, to those who show up. Yeah, this rally that we're going to have on February 6th, which is Ronald Reagan's birthday, at the state capitol. That's about 4 days. It's the fourth day after the legislature, the 35-day so-called February short session is going to kick off. Now, this is the session that was sold to us, of course, as a constitutional amendment. It was a lie. This is the session that is only supposed to deal with, you know, minor policy things and budget adjustments. No, they're going to ram cap and trade and a whole bunch of other things down our throats, okay? So this is that opportunity for people to show up to stand for what they believe in. Now, the left will be there. Now, I'm going to make a prediction to you that those of us that are involved in the natural resource industries, as you know, folks, I'm not only a former state legislator, but I'm a fifth-generation Oregon farmer. Tied to the land, I can't go anywhere. I'm going to stand and fight, and I hope you join me. And I hope you join me on February 6th, Thursday, at the State Capitol building in a massive timber unity rally. Here's my prediction to you. You know, Kate has not been, well, she's been quiet on this particular issue, right? And you know why? Because she's been out trying to co-opt the timber unity movement. And tomorrow night at the Portland Executive Club, it's at 7 p.m. at the Portland Airport Shiloh Inn. It's a meeting that I assist in promoting, and it's a meeting that I show up at typically every month. It's always on the first Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at the Portland Airport Shiloh Inn. Now, two speakers, Angelita Sanchez from Sweet Home, and Adam Lardy, these are two of the founding members of Timber Unity. They're going to be there to talk about what's been going on quietly behind the scenes. In fact, Kate Brown has been reaching out to them. Kate Brown has been going around the state talking to timber owners, big timber companies, you know, local to Oregon, trying to buy them off. That's in reality what's been going on here, okay? They're going to share with us tomorrow night what's been going on. And frankly, the, what they expect to see happening as they've been talking to senators or Oregon state senators, Republicans, are they going to be walking out? Well, one of them, of course, is running for Greg Walden's seat, a guy who walked out, a guy who was not going to walk out. But ultimately, because we, those of us on the right, there's a reason I'm sharing this story with you, those of us on the right, those of us who believe that we have to stand and fight, we're telling those guys, you got to leave the state. You've got to stop this from happening. This will destroy rural Oregon. I mean, it'll dramatically impact negatively Oregon's economy overall, even though the left, of course, says, no, it won't. It'll create all these jobs. It hasn't hurt California. Really? Have you seen the incredible increase in the cost of living in California? Have seen the incredible amount of people leaving California in the middle class? Why? Because they can't afford to live there anymore. There's a reason. If you don't think this is true, then just think about the high gas prices, gasoline prices, fuel, energy prices of all type, natural gas, all of it artificially inflated because of their cap and trade law. Now, that's what's coming to Oregon if this thing gets passed. We, the people that know that, we, the people that live in rural Oregon, that work in the natural resource industries, we know how this is going to negatively impact us. And we are going to show up to scare the living daylights out of the Democrats again. But here's my prediction to you. It ain't going to scare them like it did the first time. Now, it scared them the first time because they realized it was a true grassroots movement. It wasn't a put on, put up, rent a mob situation like the Democrats are so good at doing themselves. And that leads me to this point. My prediction to you is that, yeah, we're going to have a massive rally on December 6th. I would not be surprised to see a counter rally at the same time by the left. Not only the left, but the, well, by big enviro. My guess is that they, again, Kate's not stupid, folks. You got to understand she's not risen to where she is in power as the governor of the state, because she's dumb, quite the opposite. She's devious. She's not honest. But believe me, she is not dumb. She has been also quietly, this is my prediction to you, and I don't have any solid evidence of this, but I know how politics goes, friends. And this is something you can take to the bank. She has also been working quietly behind the scenes with her partners in the regressive totalitarian Marxist movement. And Big Enviro is just a piece of that movement, friends. She's been working with the unions. And believe me, they will all come together. She's been working with the far-left liberal Marxist religious community. She has been working quietly behind the scenes with the trial lawyers. Yeah. Now, what do they have to do with Enviro? Folks, these people are all tied together. And they all come together when they need to advance the far-left liberal Marxist agenda. And that's about to, that is my prediction. You're going to see this happen, folks. If they don't protest us on that day, and my guess is they will, show up in mass. And it's going to get really interesting. It would not surprise me to see the SEIU filter through our massive rally and do a flash mob rally right in the middle of the Capitol building, like I have seen them do. It would not surprise me to see the far-left liberal, regressive totalitarian Marxist in big environmental movement do a flash mob and lay down so that legislators or anybody else can't walk through the Capitol. I've seen them do that. I've literally seen them lay down on the floor. And I've also, unfortunately, been privy to, I'm drinking some coffee, so that the show is called Political Coffee. When I saw that happen, I also was listening to state police officers who wanted to, frankly, remove them, be told by their superiors they had to let them lay in the hallways of the Capitol building, which, by the way, is a violation of not only state law, but it's a violation of the fire code, because you can't block the emergency exits. And the hearing rooms were full. You can expect that to happen again. That's my prediction to you. Now, politics is going to go in this state to those who show up. Remember what I said to you yesterday, the question I asked you yesterday about all of this? How far are you willing to go to stand? How far are you willing to go to stand up for your beliefs, your foundational beliefs of life? Because they are the foundational beliefs that have made America great, that give you and I as individuals the greatest liberties to serve a creator or not. How far are you willing to go? I go back to the Sunday sermon of my pastor about, the early Christian church. Those that were being martyred. This is in Acts chapter 9. And about how Paul, who was then known as Saul, had been given the authority by the Jewish leaders to literally find Christians, arrest them, and have them put to death. And that was happening. And how that he was struck down on the road to Damascus. You know the story. And then how Ananias saw in a vision that he had to go and find Paul on the street called Straight, right? And how he did. That had to be a hard thing to do, because he knew that he could be the next martyr, because Paul's reputation was known. But he did it. And he did it because he believed in God, and he believed in Christ. Now let's fast forward to today. That fundamental belief of your life, about everything that is good, everything that is right, everything that is true. I was reading in Ephesians about that this morning, thinking about good things. Those are the foundational principles of our liberty, friends. They really are. How far are you willing to go to stand up for them? Are you willing to literally leave the comfort of your home and come to this rally on the 6th? Because the other side is going to be there. And they'll do everything they can, because this is what the far left radical Antifa movement does. This is what they believe in. They will be there to disrupt everything that we're going to do and to fuck up Kate and company. Are we going to stand? Are we going to show up to buck up the Republicans to do the right thing? What do you think? How do you think it's all going to Political Coffee, back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past the hour, and we're going to go to the phones in a moment. You can also send me an email, by the way, to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. Wolfie Wolftone sent me a great email. And I'm going to weave this into the subject for today, because it is part of how we can discern what's really going on the other side. What's really going on with the folks in control, because they're going to put forward some ideas that most of us disagree with because of how it impacts our lives. We're going to see that happen. Also, by the way, thanks to Avis for the great email about talking to the construction worker about listening to this radio show. Thank you for that. I do appreciate that very much. By the way, the podcast, Wolfie hasn't been waking up in time to listen to the show, so he listens at either the evening replay at 6 o'clock in the evening every day or on the podcast. A word about the podcast. I was engaging in 5 weeks of incredibly intense, all-consuming hemp harvest. I fell way behind on the podcast getting it up. I am working on it, folks. I promise you I'm going to get them up to date. It may take me a little while, but I'm going to get there. I promise you. And it's easy to find the podcast for all of our great talk show hosts. Just go to kslm.news, click on podcasts, and you can scroll down the list of the shows, find Political Coffee, and you can see and hear the show. And I'm also including links to the stories that I am talking about every day so that you can click on them, read those stories yourself. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
I'm doing great this morning, Jeff. I hope you're doing well. Enjoying all this cool weather. It's global warming, you know.
Yeah, it is. We have got to dramatically cut back all the carbon that we are breathing out of our mouths to make an impact there, Art.
Oh, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so this is what I'm going to be doing. I've done it in the past. I mean, when they were trying to pass the groceries tax, an organization that I belong to, NAMA, which is...
Hey, Art, you need to speak closer to your phone because you're getting really, quiet.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. What I plan to do is get all of the professional organizations involved that I belong to participate in this rally because, Jeff, we got to make it bigger than it was before. I belong to an organization, the National Automatic Merchandising Association, and we met at the Capitol when they were trying to pass the gross receipts tax, but we got to get all the professional organizations involved in this rally and make it 10 times bigger than it was the last time. And encourage all of those organizations, the national, the Oregon Restaurant Association, as many people as we can get there, because we got to send even a stronger message than what we did. So I'm going to be breaking out my long underwear, and I'll tell you what, those people better not block my way in the damn hallways because I'll beat the hell out of them with my cane.
and that'll make for great video that could go viral, Art.
Well, yes, and I mean, I'll step on them, damn it, because they're not going to deny me my right to speak with my representatives during this rally that's going to happen on Reagan's birthday. So I'll be breaking out my long underwear and whatever warm clothes, and I hope, you know, maybe they get that big tent set up out there. We all participate in helping fund that and everything, and we just show these dang liberals that we're tired of what they're doing to our state.
Amen. And you are so right on the money. Art, thanks for your thoughts today. I mean, what you've just articulated is precisely what has to happen. Yeah, I mean, it was great that Timber Unity exploded as a true grassroots movement all on its own, friends. And believe me, it was a big deal to have all of those log trucks in Salem that day. And to see them just literally slowly circulating the Capitol building, blowing the air horns and tractors and all of that. But it needs to be more than them. Art is right on the money. It needs to be these other organizations. Now, let me tell you why they are going to resist what Art is going to try to get them to do. And that's Restaurant Association and other groups, the Vending Association, because they have to deal with the Democrats. And they, in essence, have to pay extortion money to the Democrats, like known as campaign contributions, okay? And they do that for self-protection. It's basically, that's what it boils down to, okay? It's protection money. And they're going to be very resistant to this because they don't want to tick them off. They don't want to tick off the Democrats because they'll pass some legislation that will hurt their members. So what you got to do is, you know, people like Art, who are members of these associations, need to start talking to individual association business owners. Because I can guarantee you the association leaders and their lobbyists are not going to want to have their group be involved with something that may not have anything to do with their business, but yet it does. And standing together on the right for our values and principles of liberty have everything to do with the success of their business, no matter what it is. The Vending Machine Association that Art belongs to with his business has nothing to do with cap and trade. But standing together for the principles of liberty do have everything to do with the future of the Vending Association or any other business group. So what people like Art have to do is to individually get other members of his organization to come and participate and expand. Expand the numbers of people on our side. Because believe me, the left is not going to take this lying down. They will be there to oppose us. You wait. It's 6:30 in the morning. More on this and, well, political magicians. Ooh, that ought to be interesting. When we come back, don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, we're talking about politics, how it goes to the people who show up. The big Timber Unity rally that is going to be at the state capitol on February the 6th. That is Ronald Reagan's birthday. Now, are you willing to stand up? How far are you willing to go to stand for your principles and your values? Now, this relates to everything politically that's in our world today. The story today about, well, it's the Salem City Council passes a ban on sidewalk camping, right? But they delayed the enforcement. Now, they need to have a plan. Where are you going to put those people? Are they magically just going to go away because you're delaying the enforcement? No. They have to find some place to go. So who's going to step up and help provide that? Well, Rich, by the way, if you want to send me an email, Jeff at 1220.am. So Rich sent me an email about this. And here's what he says. He says, the vast majority of the homeless people are on drugs. Democrats don't want to do anything about it. It's a vehicle for them to get more laws passed and do nothing. As another state found out, enforce the drug laws on drugs, increase the penalties to drug dealers. That state is Rhode Island. Enforce rehab in jail. Use the jail in Portland that is not being used. That's Wapato. We talked about that yesterday because Trump's HUD secretary, Dr. Ben Carson, is thinking about using that. It's a jail that Multnomah County built and never opened. He goes on to say, Rich does, to start rehab and track down those dealers and their handlers. So there's a way to deal with homelessness. Many cities around the country have gotten creative about it. Jacksonville, Florida is one of them. And they've been very successful at it. Rich just pointed out another one here, Rhode Island. you have to deal with the root causes of things. But I want to go back to what he said here. The Democrats don't really want to do anything about it. It's a vehicle for them to get more laws passed and do nothing. What did we do in Oregon? Well, the Democrats passed laws decriminalizing some really bad drugs. Now, while that may make sense on its face, what's the message that that sends? It basically says it's okay. So we've talked a lot about how homeless, so many homeless people are people that have addictions. Now, addictions are a horrible thing because some people allow those addictions, whatever they are, whether it's alcohol or it's drugs, pornography, addicted to sports betting, gambling. That's new to Oregon, right? All of those are addictions. And ultimately, if they cannot be controlled in some manner, they are huge negative in people's lives, and it destroys people's lives. And that leads to, at least in part, to homelessness. Now, the Democrats don't want to do anything about it. Oh, they say they do. But they always say they do, don't they? Now, that led me to political magicians, to Walfie's email to me yesterday. And what it's really about is this whole impeachment show is about misdirection. He was talking about, Walfie was listening to Mike Gallagher's show, which follows mine here on this on 1220 AM. And the caller was talking about how come there's no formal investigation into the Bidens in Ukraine. That's a good question. There ought to be. But the Democrats will not do that. Why? Because they want to engage in misdirection. And that's Wolfie's point here. Because the caller was asking that question and answered it. He said it's called political magic. Huh? So think about it. People who perform stage magic do so primarily by misdirection. And he writes, great manual dexterity. He continues, the Democrats have successfully and artfully misdirected the focus from investigating what appears to be obvious Democrat corruption and true quid pro quo to investigating a passing suggestion to a Ukrainian president with no conditions whatsoever to look into the matter. He said, we are indeed living in very perilous times. The people need to finally wake up and get wise to the chicanery by the Democrats. There's the operative. Friends, this is your opportunity. That's what this show is dedicated to doing, friends. It's to helping you help others wake up and become wise to the chicanery, the misdirection of the Democrats. It happens in this state every day. Let's take, for instance, the homeless issue. That's just one of them. The real issue is what's going on in these people's lives. They're human beings. They may be your family member. They may be somebody you know's family member. Their lives are important. But somehow, if in fact they are, something's gone wrong for them to be homeless. Now, not all homeless people are bad. Some of them can't make ends meet. They lost their jobs. Maybe they didn't, you know, save any money. Maybe they overspent them. It's easy to do. Look at the amount of Americans that are in credit card debt. Years ago, I had huge credit card debt. I don't use them anymore. I pay cash for things. And it's because whatever reasons have led someone to homelessness have to be dealt with, the base reasons. If you lost your job, can you go find a job? Well, in today's economy, yeah. And you can probably find a better job, and you can probably make more money. But if the issue is an addictive personality because you are addicted, then passing, like Salem just did, a sidewalk ban and delaying the enforcement isn't going to solve the problem, is it? But doing like Rich suggested in his email what Rhode Island did. Get people help, put them in jail, enforce the law. If they've broken the law, put them in jail and then deal with their addiction. Now, that takes money. It takes resources. It isn't done easily. And the Democrats' misdirection in this issue is to misdirect everybody's thinking about it's a homeless problem. We have to deal with these people kindly and gently and compassionately. So let's not enforce the law. Now, that doesn't work in anybody's personal life. It doesn't work in anything of life. If you're going to be a nation of laws and ruled by laws, if you're going to be a person of faith and you are ruled by laws, God's laws, because you choose to live your life that way, you made a choice. You will. And you know that if you're taking this issue head on from a faith perspective, if you're disobeying God's laws, sooner or later you're going to experience the fruit of that. And you're probably not going to like it, and it's not going to be good for you. The same is true with man's laws. If we say, hey, you can't camp on a sidewalk, and we don't find a solution for you to deal with the underlying reasons why you're homeless, we've not only not accomplished anything, we've just made the situation worse. Because it's do as I say, but not as I do. It's the message we send to people about drugs by passing laws saying, oh, small amount of heroin's okay. Small amount of methamphetamine's okay. Small amount of marijuana, which is a gateway drug, is okay. So, Democrat magicians. They say we've got to pass cap and trade. We've got to destroy, we've got to create this $700 million a year slush fund that only the bureaucrats at the direction of Kate Brown get to dole out the money to the crony capitalists. We need to buy off. That's what this thing boils down to, folks. And it's going to dramatically increase your cost of living. Now, the misdirection is that the planet, we only have 12 years left on the planet. We have to do this to save the planet. That's that emotional thing, right? We have to. And we got to teach our kids about it because it's all for our children. What kind of a world do you want to leave your children? Now, while they're presenting that emotional argument, they're doing what? Well, they're doing the opposite, quietly behind the scenes. They're allowing the crony capitalist buddies of theirs to release into the atmosphere all kinds of pollutants. Why? Because they give lots of money to Democrats. But they go after the Republican donors who have businesses that release things into the atmosphere. Case in point, Entech in Lebanon. The folks at Entech I know well, I used to represent that area, and they contribute a lot of money to Republican candidates. All of a sudden, DEQ came up with a trumped up, maybe sort of kind of analysis that they're releasing dangerous things into the atmosphere and they might have to curtail it. And it was all a politically trumped up issue. And Entech went after them hard. Now, juxtapose that. Think about that in comparison then to big companies like Intel and others that give money to Democrats. They're releasing lots of things into the atmosphere, but you don't get that kind of treatment from the DEQ. It's misdirection. It's political magic. It's a rule of Saul Alinsky. Rules for radicals, isn't it? Accuse the other side of doing something that you're doing yourself.
Stop the car.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Rich wrote me another email. By the way, if you want to send me an email, Jeff at 1220.am. We'll get to Rebecca in a momento as she's on the line. 503-589-1220. So Rich's other email to me was about mercury pollution. This is another Democrat magician trick. It's to constantly accuse or say that there is more pollution than ever before. So it talks about, he's talking, Rich's email here is talking about the DEQ needing, saying that they need to engage in another project to clean up the Willamette River. Well, Rich states the obvious here. This was started about 30 years ago. And it has. It was about 30 years ago, right? Cleaning up the Willamette River. So why hasn't it continued? Are the money still going to the department that is supposed to do this? Why wasn't this cleanup ongoing? Where did the monies get sucked up into, if not for the cleanup? Let's deduct the money for the last 30 years plus from the budget. And no production, no money. Remember the Democrat socialist theory, more taxes, fewer jobs, vote Democrat. That's from Rich. Democrat misdirection. While they're claiming that we need to raise taxes on the rich to fund schools, to fund cleaner environment, to fund the cleanup of the Willamette River, nobody's asking, how's the money been spent that you've already been allocating to the cleanup of the Willamette River? And oh, by the way, how much dirtier really is the Willamette River than 30 years ago? Or is it actually cleaner? Which it is, folks. They're cherry-picking data to make the case. And while they're misdirecting with political magic, again, sleight of hand, accusing evil companies of polluting the river, while in fact, the biggest polluter of the Willamette River is, guess who? The city of Portland. See, the cities, by and large, get by scot-free under the Democrats. Why? Because the cities are their base of influence. It's called stormwater runoff, folks. And yeah, the city of Portland is spending billions to fix it. They're the largest polluter. Never forget that. And when they talk about cleaning up the Willamette River, maybe they should look at the city of Portland. But the misdirection is just saying, look, the water's horribly polluted. If you eat any of the fish on that, you're probably going to die. I mean, that's not what they say, but that's the message that gets sent. And all the while, they're allowing the cities, again, this is the misdirection. They're not only allowing the cities to pollute, but the money that should be going to so-called fix these problems, homelessness, cleaning up the Willamette River, is being sucked up by other things, other priorities, like, oh, PERS. No, we can't deal with that. We can kick the can down the road and say we dealt with it, but we really can't deal with it. Because you know why? The SEIU wouldn't like that. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning.
I'm calling because this is a riddling question that you're asking today about what are people willing to do. And all down through history, people have known that if they wanted to change their if they wanted to change who was in the government over them, they had to use enough force to defeat the power of it. And so it generally led to bloody wars. And elections were supposed to be the bloodless revolution, which many people don't seem to understand that they have the power to change their representatives. I hate to call them that because they don't really represent us at this time here in Oregon. But when we want to change our representatives, we have to get involved and get people registered to vote and get them out to the polls. And in Oregon, we have a huge need to clean up the voter rolls. And the question that you're asking, I wish I could talk about it for at least a half an hour, but I can't. But Paul Hill is a person that I have been both admired and also wondered about what God thinks, because he went and killed an abortionist. And his reasoning was that if he killed an abortionist, there would be one less person who would be killing children. And the state of Florida made sure that he became dead himself very quickly. They didn't waste any time getting him executed. And yet the Democrats usually allow people to go through the system on a long period of time and sometimes even let them out when they're murderers. So, but to kill an abortionist, they come against you with the full power of the state. So when people step up to change their leadership, we first of all need to employ the tool that's been put into our hands, which is to have a bloodless revolution. And and then secondly, people, when they come to the intolerable point, they actually take up arms.
So let me ask you that. Let me stop you there for a moment and quickly ask you this question. Yesterday I was in a conversation with a gentleman who believes that we are rapidly getting to the place in America where there may be another civil war, an actual shooting civil war. Are you thinking that would happen?
I have no idea where people are at with that. The civil war, it should be called the war between the Democrats and Republicans. That would put a lot more light on what actually happened. I have a sign that I've created that speaks of the court case that said that black people were not human. The
Plessy versus Ferguson.
What?
That's called Plessy versus Ferguson. Wrap it up quickly because we're going to be
no
at the
one
end of the
before
show.
The Civil War. The one, and then they also had the Fugitive Slave Act. I've made a sign about the court case that said that. I can't think of his name right now. My brain isn't functioning. But they said that he wasn't human and therefore he could be enslaved. He had sued and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. He was trying to get his freedom, and so that court case and the Fugitive Slave Act were huge in driving the power of the Republican Party in its formation. When
all
the
of that
Democrats
has been lost.
Succeeded.
Unfortunately, I got to let you go, Rebecca. We're at the end of the show. All of that has been lost, that history, because the Democrats have assumed that mantle and successfully misdirected people's thinking that Republicans are racist when it's quite the opposite. Republican Party ended slavery with blood, not just the Emancipation Proclamation. So friends, there's lots of opportunity. We'll keep talking about how you can be the greatest influencer you know and persuade the persuadable. Get out there, make it a great day. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.